Psalm 68 and verse 18, the scripture says, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 20. We trust the Lord will bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. This evening I want you to think with me upon a Savior who gives gifts to men. But I want you to see how our God speaks of those men to whom Christ gives gifts. It says there in verse 18, Yea, for the rebellious also. I want you to see the mercy and the love of your Savior, who though that word would well describe us, Christ gives gifts. While we have God's word before us, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless us as we meet in His name. Our Father and our God, again this night we are thankful that we can gather in the name of the Lord Jesus and have every confidence that Thou art in our midst. Lord, we would pray that Thou wilt bless now Thy word. Bless us as we would seek after our Savior. Bless us with a sight of Him. Bless us, O God, with a view of His heart toward us. Lord, we would pray that Thou wilt help us to be those who hear the Spirit speaking to us of Christ and speaking to us of ourselves. We would pray, O God, now that Thou wilt truly come alongside and lead us on to that pasture where we may feed upon the sweet things of the Lord. Bless us now as we consider this song, as we consider that which speaks of Christ. And this we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Here you have in Psalm 68 a psalm of David. It is one of David's songs. It is one of David's sweet melodies, if you will, that he makes in recounting his God. In verse 18, however, I would suggest to you that you have a word of prophecy. A word that is an account, if you will, of the victory that Christ experiences at His resurrection from the grave. By that resurrection, He breaks the power and the hold of death. He is that one who, when He ascends from the tomb, leads captivity captive. Just stop and think about that. Death holds every man captive. And yet in the hand of the Lord Jesus as He comes from the grave is the tokens of His victory over death. He holds captivity captive. And because He was able to break the power of death and hell, He then ascends to the right hand of the Father and is able then to offer gifts to those that He saves. Does He save? Indeed, you have words here in verses 19 and 20 that make it very, very plain. Who is the Savior? He is the one who is the God of salvation. The same one who leads captivity captive is the one that brings forth His people unto salvation. And to those people, He offers gifts. We might ask, what gifts? He offers everlasting life. Does He not say in John's Gospel, and I give unto them eternal life? He gives us a oneness and a fellowship with our God, does He not also say, "And no man shall pluck them from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Does not the Lord Jesus give us abundant grace? Does He not give us the living water that flows from Himself, that when we drink from that well, we are well satisfied? All the things that our souls would need, both to come to God and then to enjoy God, Christ brings to us. And this is a certain thing because He has triumphed over death. When we're looking at this passage, we may take this and say, "Oh, this is a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus has had a victory over our enemy. Oh, it is a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus also is able to give such wondrous gifts to those who are the object of His salvation, the recipients of it." But this evening, I want us to put this into a new light. Not necessarily a new light, but a sweeter light. Because I want you to see and I want you to take to your mind that the Lord Jesus brings these blessings. He brings this freedom. He brings this emancipation. He brings these gifts of all the graces and wondrous treasures of God to men that God Himself calls rebellious. I say, in some ways, that ought to amaze us. It seems somewhat incongruous. God only blesses the righteous and the upright, isn't that right? God only brings gifts to those that are the deserving. He brings gifts to those who have some merit through their faithful duty to Him. He gives gifts to those, right? And not to those who are the undeserving? Not according to this word. The Lord Jesus allows those that would have to be classified as rebellious, He brings them the gifts of all the grace of God. I want us to think upon this tonight. I want us to think on this picture, this subject. And I want us to think about the whole of what's being said here. That Christ offers gifts and brings gifts to those who must be called rebellious. And I would suggest to you that that word, these words, would prove to us as the people of God that God's grace and mercy is not shut up for just a few men only. But even those who would have to say, "Here I stand, dripping in my own unworthiness, yet Jesus loves even me." I want us to think on this description that we have here, and take for our subject the gifts to the rebellious, and I want us to see three things. First, I want you to see with me that the Scripture here makes an honest assessment. An honest assessment. The first thing that we must say about the whole issue is how right this is of us. Let's ask the question. Where are you, ye rebels? Where are those who have lived in open rebellion against God all their days? Well, if there is going to be an honest answer from any of us in this room tonight, we would all have to say, "Here. Here. I am that one. Rebellion has been that which has been within me. I am that one who, through my thoughts and my acts, have long ago and loudly spoke in the face of God, 'Go away. And go away until I have something more that I can accuse you of.'" Oh, I want you to see that rebellion is bound up in the heart of every man. Rebellion is in every man. Isaiah puts it, I would say, somewhat mildly when he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. You have the image of this little animal who's going astray, because it really doesn't demonstrate to us the heinous aspect of our rebellion against God. But that word, though, in Isaiah does say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We are rebels. There's not one of us in this room that can say, no, not me, not me. How many of these words would aptly describe us? Proud. Unbelieving. Unjust. Slothful. Full of anger. Envious. Fleshly. Willful. Sinners against the light. Every one of us are so. We are those who are extreme in our love of self, and just as extreme in our hatred of any restraints upon our sinfulness. The one thing that you can see about a rebel is that he does not want any restraints. Don't tell me what to do. Don't put your regulations on me. I will not have any law over me. You know, even just the way that I said that would maybe indicate to us, you know, two things that are always found together. When you see one, you see the other. And when you see the other, you see the one. I said it right. That's anger and rebellion. When you see anger, rebellion is there. When you see rebellion, anger is there. Those two are never separated. Anger and rebellion are bound up in the heart of every man. Yet Jesus, in spite of that, loves us still. Second thing I would point out is this, that rebellion is the only state in which the Savior ever finds us. Not only is it in every man, it's the only way he ever finds us. Does it not say in Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? How did Christ find you? Well, he found me as a sinner that was really on my way to God. I had turned from my sin, and I was really on the golden pathway, and really all he had to do was just to open the door for me. No. While you were yet a sinner. The only way that Jesus Christ ever views any of us prior to making us clean is that we are angry rebels. That's all we are. You and I might say within ourselves, oh, that it could have been that the Lord had found a soft and pliable heart when he came to save me. But you and I also know well that when the Savior found us, we were those who were in angry rebellion. We might have a desire to claim that we were really being loyal and loving subjects to our King. No. When Christ found us, he found the Pharisee. Did it ever amaze you how it seems that every single time the Pharisees are referred to in Scripture, that the Pharisees are always angry? You never find a happy Pharisee. Why? Because the Pharisees are living their own law. They say it's God, but they're doing it for themselves. And because they cannot be satisfied before God, they cannot be satisfied with themselves. They are an angry lot. Every man who will be a Pharisee is a man who's marked by anger. I say rebellion is the only way the Savior ever finds us. And third, I say sadly, as we're making our assessment, Rebellion is that mark upon us that the Lord notes when Christ stands before Him. Here in Psalm 68 and verse 18, you have the picture of Christ standing before the throne of God, offering there the merits of His own blood. And as He turns and makes representation for His people, how sees God those people? He looks at you and me and He says of us, rebel. Rebel. The Lord knows my rebellion and He sees it fully. There is no masking of the heart of any of us before Him. God sees us as we are. In fact, when the Lord Jesus looks at those Pharisees, what comment does He make about their hearts? Does He not say of them that they are nothing but a bunch of whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones? That's what you are inside. You're death inside. You're the antithesis of life inside. You are rebellion and hatred and pride and all the things there that are an animosity to God, an offense to God. I say the Scripture is very honest in its description of us here in Psalm 68. We are not hid. We are seen. We are known. We are shown, but also we are loved. Now there's the miracle, I say, of this verse. There's the wonder of this verse. Not that Christ should break the power of death. You know, that's not a real wonder. Although it's a miracle, it's not a real wonder because Christ is God. Of course He's going to defeat death. That Christ should ascend back to the Father. You'd say, well, that again is only something that God can do, but Christ is God, so it should not be a wonder to us. But that He should look on rebels and love them, I say, now there's the wonder. And see that the Scripture shows that gifts are given. In other words, there is the outpouring of God's heart to us. And there's a reason for it. It is because the man of God's own choosing has ascended to Him. He is honorable. He is speaking for us. His words are heeded. And He has obtained gifts for the rebellious also. So I say, in this verse we have an honest assessment. But I want you to see also, second, here is an honorable advocate. An honorable advocate. The scene before the throne is that of Christ standing between the Father and those who are rebels. He stands holding forth His precious blood as the price for the gifts that are to be showered on the embracers of insurrection. I want you to understand then this. That it is because of our advocate that we have anything from the hand of God. He is the cause for our gifts. Jesus and Jesus only. The reason that there is any gift of the heart of God that falls on our benighted souls is that Christ goes humbly to the Father and asks for it. Do you see a wonder here? Jesus steps before the throne of the Holy, the Almighty, and He, with the blood in His hands, as it were, as the everlasting payment for sin, at the same time asks that gifts would be given to rebels. Father, I ask for Your forgiveness for them. I ask for Your saving graces for them. I ask, O God, that they whom Thou hast given me should be with me where I am. Indeed, The Lord Jesus pleads His blood for our poor hearts. And what says the Scripture about that pleading, about that advocacy? What does the Scripture say about Jesus and this work? I say it is this. The Scripture says He succeeds. And you and I ought to stop there and offer a hallelujah to God. That we are those who are sitting in our insurrection, and yet Jesus takes His blood and pleads for us, and He succeeds. And by that success, He obtains for us all the varied graces of God. Now, will you let me get a little controversial here at the moment? In our Sunday school class, we've been talking about the atoning work of Christ. Was it that which was meant for His people? Or was it that which was meant for all men generally? I will suggest to you that this that we're looking at tonight, the advocacy of Christ and the obtaining of gifts for rebels, is as much a part of the atonement as the payment for sin. God's justice is satisfied when Christ pays for sin, when the penalty is paid for. But God's justice also demands that if there have been some who have been made righteous, then they must obtain the blessings and gifts of God. So we might ask the question, does Jesus, then, if Jesus died for all men generally, they want to say, well, then there's, men not there would want to say, then there's the possibility that all men would be saved. But what about this part? Do all men have the gifts of Christ to them? If they do, all the graces, all the life, all everything that Christ obtains by an atoning work must be theirs. We say that's not the case. All men have not life. All men have not faith. All men have not the graces of God. Not every man knows everything that Christ died to bring to His people. Because of that, then we would have to say, then it was not theirs to receive. But having said that, I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus does indeed stand as the reason why you and I receive the graces of God. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You know, sometimes we think of that as being little flock, meaning you little group of people, or you weak people. Can I change a word? Fear not, rebellious flock. You that have gone astray like the sheep of Isaiah. You that have turned everyone to his own way. Fear not, rebellious flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure to also give you the kingdom, but not for your sakes, but for Jesus' sake. Why does He do this? Why does He do this? Well, again, I would point to you the second thing about this honorable advocate. Not only is He the cause for our gifts, but He is the lover of our souls. Again, keep in mind who it is that we are. We are those that spat upon Him, who mocked Him, who ran from Him, who nailed Him to a tree. And yet Jesus loves us. And I say this is the grand hope of all who wrestle under the weight of sin. There is hope for every man who falls backward, for every man who runs away, for every man who finds within himself the seeds of rebellion. John Bunyan makes a comment, and I'm going to read you just a short phrase, and amazingly enough, this is not from Pilgrim's Progress, though it would seem that that particular recording is going in our house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I go to bed with phrases of the man in the iron cage and different things going through my head. But Bunyan, in commenting on a fear in his own heart that because of his own rebellion that God was done with him. You almost wonder whether the man, if Bunyan wondered whether he was the man in the iron cage by some of the comments that he makes. But Bunyan says this of his own rebellion and his fear of what it did to him. He says, "I feared also that this was the mark that the Lord did set on Cain," speaking of the mark, what he felt within his own heart. "Even continual fear and trembling under the heavy load of guilt that he charged upon him for the blood of his brother Abel. Then did I wind and twine and shrink under the burden that was upon me, which burden did also oppress me, that I could neither stand nor go nor lie, either at rest or quiet. Yet that saying would sometimes come into my mind, he hath received gifts for the rebellious. Rebellious, thought I? Why, surely they are such as once were under subjection to the prince, even those who, after they had sworn subjection to his government, have taken up arms against him. And this, I thought, is my very condition. Once I loved him, feared him, served him. But now I am a rebel, and I have sold him. I said, let him go if he will. But he has gifts for rebels. And then, why not for me?" Bunyan says, I could be like them all. But Jesus remembers rebels and he knows me in my rebellion. And he offers the gifts of forgiveness and grace and washing, of renewal. Oh, see the picture of Peter beside the waters of Galilee as the Savior comes and says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" He loves the rebel. The truth of the matter is that Christ loves us and has obtained gifts for us. Again, think of those gifts. What are they? Well, here's my last point, and it's not even a point really, it's just a statement. The third, I say, here is a heavenly awarding. Christ gives us gifts. Does it matter about the glory that is attached to those gifts? Not really. What does He give us? Well, if Romans is to be believed, it says that in Romans 8 and 32, that if God gave Him for us, how shall He not freely with Him also give us what? All things. What all things? Life everlasting. Inexhaustible mercy. Grace that flows like a mighty river. The peace that passeth understanding. All these things. But I want you to see the most glorious of them all. The gifts of God that are given to rebels is this. His love. He gives us His love. So that you and I as rebels can sit down and sing with an open heart, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Rebels to Him belong. They are wicked, but He is strong. I changed a couple words there, but it still fits. Jesus loves me. Maybe there tonight your own heart has had a struggle with this. Lord, I see my rebellion, I see my sin, I see how cold my heart is, I see where I have turned. I see, like Bunyan, where I have been the one who has loved and feared and served, and now I turn and now I find myself backslidden. Is there hope for me? I just leave you with what Bunyan said. But He has gifts for rebels, and then why not for me? Why not for me? Gifts for the rebellious. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again this night, we're thankful for Thy word. And Lord, we're thankful that it teaches us of the glory of the work of the Lord Jesus, and also of the heart of a Savior who has unending love for those that He came to save. Lord, now we pray that Thou will seal to our hearts this word. I pray that Thou will help us to see that no matter what we are and where we've been, though we would be very much in our own minds like that prodigal, yet Jesus gives gifts before God to obtain the full pardon and reconciliation of such as we. Lord, bless now Thy word. Continue with our hearts, we pray, this night. And continue to preach to us Thyself through the Spirit of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.